Welcome to the Grace Baptist Church podcast for Sunday, May 9th, 2021. Today's sermon will be in Psalm 61. If you'd like to follow along, please go to gracebaptistchurchnc.org, click the sermons link at the top, and then click today's manuscript. Welcome to Grace Baptist Church.
To God be the glory. Father, thank you for this day. To you be the glory for all the things you have done in our lives, for saving us from our depravity and our sin. As we do come together today in worship and praise, I pray that you would remove from us any distractions that would be hindering us from worshiping you, and applying that also to every day, that anything that is a distraction in our lives that detracts from your glory would be removed from us today, tomorrow, and the rest of our lives. Help us now as we read your word, as we pray, and as we worship you. In your son's name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Second Peter chapter 3. We'll go from 14 to 18 in just a minute. A couple of announcements. We're going to have a congregational meeting May 23rd, 9 a.m. So mark that on your calendars, May 23rd, 9 a.m. Just a reminder, usually we're in here at 9 o'clock to set up the chairs and whatnot. I mean, feel free to come in at 9:30 and fellowship early if you like. Just as a way of reminder. And happy Mother's Day. It's a big day. Big day for the Sherrill family. Right? That's big. On the prayer list today, I missed anything, John? Is that everything? On the prayer list today, and also a reminder, home groups are going to be ending in May, and we'll have church-wide gatherings in June, July, and August, and more details to that will be coming. New home groups will start up in September. On the prayer list, we continue to remember Zach and Amy. It's good to see them both here. Kendall had a high school soccer teammate that passed away this week. In a car accident, so that's the Ruckert family. The Leslie family, they're related to Mary. This was the family that was murdered in South Carolina. I just remember that family during these days. And Jill's dad has a scan coming up next week, Reed Benfield. So I'll read 2 Peter 3, the final words of Peter here, then we'll have just a moment of silence, and then I'll lead us into prayer. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, that's the last days he's talking about, since you're waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some of the things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, it is to you and you alone who deserves all the honor and glory and praise. Father, for you alone are worthy to be praised. Father, we praise you that you are the maker of all things, the sustainer of all things, the giver of life, the taker of life, that in your sovereign and providential control, nothing happens without you're okay. And for that, we as Christians can rest and be satisfied and know that the God of the universe will do what is right. Father, forgive us of our sins. Forgive us when we fail you. Forgive me personally for my shortcomings, the sins that I have. And Father, I can echo with everyone in this room that we're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. And Father, we rely upon you. Father, thank you for Jesus, for the gospel, for Jesus living the life that none of us could live, and for dying the death that we all deserve to die. Father, thank you. Father, we especially thank you for mothers today and for the influences that they have on our lives. Ask that you'd give them great grace today. Bless them. And Father, give them a great day. Father, as we think of the people on the prayer list, we especially thank you for Zach and Amy being here with us. We love them so much. Father, we ask that you would provide healing. Father, the Bible says that we have not because we ask not, and we ask, we beg, that you would do something that only you can do, that you would heal, completely heal. Father, bless their families. Give them grace. Father, as we think of these other two families that are dealing with such tragedy in their lives, we ask that you would give them special grace this day and peace. Father, we're thanking of Jill and her family and her dad as he goes in for a scan. We ask that you'd bless him, bless his health, and Father, help him to continue to lean upon you. Father, we praise you for the new life that came this week. Father, we ask that you'd bless Hunter and Emily, that you'd give them grace. Father, we ask that you be with John today, as I know it's been a tough week and a busy week for him, that you would just give him power and as he brings forth your word in a moment. Father, as we continue on in worship, we ask that you'd bless us. In Christ's name, amen.
All right, if you would please stand with me and let's continue worshiping.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart, not be all else to me save that thou presence my light. Be thou my wisdom and thou my true word. I ever with thee and thou with me, Lord. Thou perfect plea. A great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands. My name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. No tongue can bid me thence depart. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end of all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. To look on him and pardon me. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior and my God. One with himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased by his blood.
Thank you.
Father, all highest praises, honor, and glory be to you alone. Everything that we think we are in pride and in sin, we want to lay down before you, confessing that we often do consider ourselves to be high and prideful and full of it, really. And so we ask that you would take away that selfish pride, and that you would take away the sinful inclinations that is in our hearts, that we would lay those down at your feet and recognize that you are most honorable and most perfect, that we would glorify you with our lives and everything we do. And as we come to read your word, I pray that you would convict even further our hearts, that we might glorify you, that we might share your love with those around us, to our friends and our coworkers that don't know you, that you might be glorified, and that we might someday all worship you, sing that holy, holy, holy. In your son's name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Thanks. If you would, this morning, turn in your Bibles to Psalm 61. Psalm 61. And as you are turning there, just want to say a few things. Happy Mother's Day, as Scott has already said. And if you are not a mother, maybe you will be one, is what has happened in our family this week, as Emily has now become a mother. And if you're not a mother, we all have mothers. And so God is good to give us mothers. And so happy Mother's Day. And I hope that you have a good time with your family, and that God will especially bless you as you think about what it means to be a mother. We're moving to Psalm 61 today. We had planned on being in Habakkuk chapter 2, which is on the topic of divine judgment. We'll be there, Lord willing, next week. But it has been a difficult week for me. Not difficult, but it's been hard to wrap my mind around certain things this week. So I have gone back and reworked a sermon I preached years ago from Psalm 61. And so that's why we're in Psalm 61 today. And so there's probably a lot of other things I could say. This week, Abigail had a volleyball tournament, and I went down to the church and the place we were at, and I found me a nice solitary spot out in the middle of the campus there. Jeff's seen it already. Left my Bible there. When I went back into the volleyball game, and then went home without it. And then we went to the hospital and on. And then we went back down Saturday. I actually called the church because I didn't have my Bible. And this is the only thin-lined, large print Bible that I have. And so I could do it with another Bible, but it would be a little bit more difficult. But we went back down Saturday, and there was my Bible. And so, and it rained. But I don't see any issues with it. So I'm very, very grateful to get that back. But appreciate your prayers this week, especially for our family. God is good to bring another little one, or a little one, in the life of for Emily and Hunter. Psalm 61. The title of the sermon is "When My Heart Is Overwhelmed," when my heart is faint. Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will call to you when my heart is faint. That's where I get the title for the sermon. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You've given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Prolong the life of the king. May his years endure to all generations. May he be enthroned forever before God. Appoint steadfast love and faithfulness to watch over him. So will I ever sing praises to your name as I perform my vows day after day. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for these words today from Psalm 61. I pray that you would bless them. I pray that, Father, we pray that you would just make these truths clear, that you have led us to a rock that is higher than I, that we are, and that is Christ, who sits at your right hand, who is alive. He died, but he rose again, and he sits at your right hand after making purification for our sins. He is ascended, and he serves always as our high priest, continually interceding for us. And so we pray in Jesus' name, Father. And that's what it means. That all, knowing that all of our, any blessings that we might receive from your hand come through Christ. I pray that he would increase, that I would decrease, that we would decrease, Father, in spite of me. I pray that you would work greatly with your people here today. I pray that Christians would be, Father, we would be exhorted, we would be encouraged, we would be convicted of our sins, that we might grow and be sanctified through the hearing of your word today. I pray for non-Christians, that today they would look unto Christ and find the rock who is higher than all. And they would find that their sins are so graciously and mercifully forgiven in Christ today. We give you this time today in Jesus' name. Amen. This psalm is another psalm of David. Whether it was written at the time or looking back, we don't know, but the occasion is David's heart that is overwhelmed with the trials of life. Do we have any trials of life going on? Of course we do. Every single one of us do when we think about it. Well, David was in exile at the time of writing of this psalm. His son, Absalom, had led a revolution against his kingdom, and he had taken Jerusalem, and David had fled out of the city. He was actually running for his life, and his own son was trying to kill him. I would say that his heart was certainly faint. Even thinking back, David was probably thinking, what kind of a father was I? What kind of a father that have I been that my son, my own son, would turn on me in such a way? And I think David certainly looked back at his fathering skills and the things that he did right and especially wrong, for sure, as I certainly do when I think about my own family, my own kids. But David was running for his life. And not only was he thinking about his son and what was going on there and maybe losing the kingdom, which I don't think he was that concerned. He trusted in the sovereignty of God to move him out and to put another king in when God saw fit. And he didn't know how that would all work out. But I think he was very upset, too, that he was leaving the city of Jerusalem, the tabernacle, everything that was there, everything that he knew was leaving him and was gone. And he considered this place to be the end of the earth, as he says here in the psalm, where he was going. Now, he was at the point, I believe, of saying, you know, I give up, my heart cannot take it anymore. And the Hebrew word for faint means to be involved or covered or just overwhelmed. And again, we are overwhelmed, I think, with the cares of this world often. Verse 2, David says, when my heart is faint. He doesn't say if my heart is faint. He says when my heart is faint. So in this sinful world that we live in, a faint or overwhelmed heart is often the case. But for the Christian, it is an occasion it is an occasion for us to praise God. And that's what I think happens in this psalm. Look at verse 8. At the end of the psalm, he says, so will I ever sing praises to your name, even in the midst of everything that David was going through. So he begins this prayer with an overwhelmed heart, but he ends with a heart of praise. So my question is, how can this be, and how can our hearts rejoice when they are so overwhelmed with whatever is going on in our lives? Well, three reasons from this psalm this morning. First reason, we can rejoice because God hears and He answers our prayers. Look at verse 1. David says, "Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer." And then in verse 2, "From the ends of the earth, I call to you." In other words, no matter where I'm at. Then verse 5, "For you, O God, have heard my vows." David had nowhere to go and nowhere to turn at this point. His own son had chased him out of the house and pursued him with an army of revolutionists. And I would say that he was overwhelmed or faint, but he cried out during this time to God. I mean, I've cried out to God this morning. I know probably everyone who is here the name of Christ has cried out this morning, "Lord, help me. Lord, give me grace," whatever it is. Because God answers our prayers as Christians. He answers our prayers. In fact, the Bible says God delights in answering our prayers. And oftentimes I don't feel very good about my own prayers when I look at my own sin. And I know if you are like me, which you are, you feel the same. That is the way we are. But God delights in hearing and answering the prayers of His people. Let me read a couple verses. Jeremiah 33:3. God says, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know." Psalm 145:18. "The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call on Him in truth." Isaiah 58:9. "Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer, and you shall cry, and He will say, Here I am, here I am." And then Isaiah 65:24, "Before they call," that's interesting, "but before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear." As God's people this morning, I must just remind us what a privilege it is to know that God answers and hears. Deuteronomy 4:7, "For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon Him?" Today we are not the nation of Israel as they were in that same particular context, but we are a nation of priests, a nation of those who have been called out by God, a nation of those who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. By faith we are united to Him, and we are disciples of Christ. We are the body of Christ. We are the church. Ephesians 2. Verse 13, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Today, God answers our prayers because Jesus has broken down the wall of separation. God punished Jesus on the cross, rightly so, in our place. We are the ones that deserve what He got. He did not deserve it. But He punished Christ in our place. He died, but then He rose again, and now He sits at the right hand of God. And now, because of this, God hears and answers our prayers. We're going to talk a little bit more about this as we go on through, but let's move on to the second reason we rejoice when our hearts are faint. Not only does God hear and answer, we rejoice because God is near. Nearness. I don't like it when everybody's so far away. I like it better when COVID's not going on and we can get together. Last week, I had everybody up here and then the power came back on. Thanks to Ben telling us to plug it into a different plug. But I like it when we are near to one another. But we rejoice because God is near to us. We have a God who is never too far away when we cry out unto Him. Look at verse 2. David says, "From the end of the earth, I will call to you when my heart is faint." Now again, I've already talked about what David was going through. But out of all the things that David was going through with his son and with the revolution and with leaving his wives and concubines and this and that, David left Jerusalem, the holy city where the Ark of the Covenant was being kept. We must never forget, God has always spoken to his people in particular ways, but more specific, in particular places. Where did he meet with Adam and Eve? Do you remember? In the garden. Special place. Not anywhere else, but right in the garden. That's where God met with Adam and Eve. With Abraham. He met with Abraham in particular places. One particular one that comes to mind is Bethel. God, the God, the place. That's where God met with Abraham. Later on, Jacob, he would build an altar at that very place where God met with Abraham. When the Israelites came out of Egypt, where did God meet with them? Do you remember? He told them to build a special tent, special place in the middle, there in the Holy of Holies, and all of the sacrificial system started at that time, and the priest, high priest, would go into that special Holy of Holies place one time a year. That's where God met with them. Beginning from after David, though, with Solomon's time, God met with people in Jerusalem where? In the temple. Also, the Holy of Holies that was there. We must remember, when we think about this psalm, we must remember this with David and him leaving the city, because he was thinking, I'm leaving the place where God meets with his people. And I think that is why David could say in verse 2, from the ends of the earth, because he wasn't really at the ends of the earth. He was just outside Jerusalem, okay? He wasn't that far out. But he says, from the ends of the earth, no matter how far, but I will call upon you. I will call upon you. He had never seen, again, the literal ends of the earth. I feel like a few places I've been, I've seen the ends of the earth. But David wasn't there. But he says, from the ends of the earth, I cry out to you. Now, in verse 4, as we think about God's presence, he says, let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings, for you, O God, have heard my vows. And so in some way, David still knew that God was still near to him. And he desired to go back to Jerusalem, certainly as king. Look at verse 6. Prolong the life of the king. May his years endure to all generations. In verse 7, may he be enthroned forever before God. Now that's certainly, I'm not talking about that here, but that's another picture of Christ, who is the true king. All of the kings, and the good kings particularly, pictured Christ, who is the one true king. But verse 7, may he be enthroned forever before God. Appoint steadfast love and faithfulness to watch over him. But David knew even if he didn't make it back, he still rejoiced because he knew God was near to him. So let's think for a moment about nearness. The theological word that we might use for nearness is imminence. God is imminent. It is the opposite. Abby and I have talked about this before. The opposite of that is transcendent, out there somewhere. But God is, he is transcendent, but he's also imminent. When you sleep in the same bed, husbands and wives or children with brothers and sisters, that person is right there with you, and you know because they're either snoring or they're kicking you. Very imminently, they are there with you, and we know that. So we know what that means. In the same kind of way, not the best illustration, but with God, he does not leave any space in the universe without his presence. He is always there, everywhere. The furthest place that you can think or imagine, think about going around the earth to some remote lake and go down to the bottom of the lake, if you could, and be there. God is there. The smallest atom the electrons, the neutrons, the protons, and matter, even smaller in every part of the universe, is kept by the power of God. And that the word we say there, He is omnipresent. He's everywhere at all times. Always present in all places at all times. Otherwise, He would not be God, because there would be some place that God is not. We cannot say that, because He would not be God. That's why we can say God neither sleeps, nor does He slumber. He doesn't go and take a nap. So in this way, God is near everyone, okay? Whether you are a Christian, whether you're a non-Christian, whatever you are, whoever you are, whatever you have, whatever God has made, He is near. That's why in Acts chapter 17, some of us in home group have heard this, and we'll hear it this month. Acts 17, He gets up to preach. Here's what He tells the Gentiles. He says, "The God who made the world and everything in it, He is Lord of heaven and of earth, and He does not live in temples made by man, nor is He served by human hands as though He needed anything, since He Himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything." And then just a little bit later, Paul says that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward Him and find Him, yet He is actually not far from each one of us. So in that way, God is omnipresent. Now, I have a question. Is that what David meant in the psalm? That God is near to him? Did he just mean, yeah, He's near? Of course he's near in that way. Well, certainly indirectly, David knew that very clearly. But what I think this is not what David is primarily thinking of when he calls upon the Lord while he is away from the city of Jerusalem. He was thinking about a special presence that was only for the people of God. Let me reread Deuteronomy 4:7. "For what great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us, for whatever reason we may call upon Him?" Well, David was a part of God's chosen people, Israel. And concerning the blessings of God's people, the Apostle Paul says in Romans 9, verse 4, "They are Israelites. To them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and all of the promises." They were God's special people. And through these promises, David has a special relationship with God. As he is away from his home in Jerusalem, crying out, he has a special relationship by faith. And we've been talking about faith the past 3 or 4 weeks. God was near to him. But all of these promises of nearness were yet to come for David. We think about the Old Testament thinking along these lines, pointing us to the nearness that will come in Christ. Isaiah 7:14. "Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call His name Emmanuel." Later, when the time was drawing near, an angel appeared to Mary, saying, reminding her of Isaiah's words, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. They shall call His name Emmanuel." What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. God near to us. And then Matthew 1. John 1, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We've seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus told the people, "If you've seen Me, you've seen the Father." That's John 14:9. Matthew 12:6. "I tell you, something greater than the temple is here." Brothers and sisters, people all over the world are trying their best to get near to God through working, through going to church, through giving to the poor, through all kinds of morality, whether it be church attendance or just saying, you know, I'm not a bad neighbor. I help out my neighbor when they need me, or I go and I visit the sick, or I help someone when I, you know, help fix their tire or pick them up or all the things that we are doing in this world. We're working, trying to get near to God. Because I promise you, if you are not united to Christ in faith, you feel far from God. And you know what I'm talking about. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, you are far. Not only are you far from God, but if you really think about it, you feel far from God. And God made us that we would be near to Him. So if you long for God's nearness, where will you find fulfillment? Where will we find this fulfillment? It will be in Christ. If you long for God's presence, you will find it in Christ. If you want life that comes with the presence of God, you will find it in Christ. If you want all of the benefits of nearness, joy, peace, and contentment, a million other things, you will only find them in Christ. All of God's promises are yes in Christ. And who is called Emmanuel, God with us? For what generation is there that God was so near to them as the Lord our God is to us? For whatever reason, we may call upon Him. And so we rejoice today when our hearts are overwhelmed because God hears and He is near to us in Christ. Finally this morning, we rejoice because He leads us. Now, this is a big truth, okay? Because there's so many implications on, we ask the question, how does God lead us? Well, God's leadership includes instruction as we read the Word. It comes through wisdom as we read the Word. It comes through encouragement from others. It comes through rebukes of others, all kinds of ways. His leading us includes assurance, provision, protection, and even hard times. God brings our way in leading us. And there are a lot of other things. And we rejoice because we have a God who leads us. But the important question for us is not so much how God leads us this morning, but where does God lead us? Look at the second part of verse 2. David says, lead me to what? The rock that is higher than I. David knew that he needed Almighty God to lead him to the rock on higher ground. I remember when I was a kid, we lived on the side of a hill, and we always played King of the Hill. Does anybody ever play King of the Hill anymore when you're young? Boys especially. You just basically try to get up the hill and you get tackled. You try to tackle the person up on top. But it's hard. It was hard to get up our hill because you had to run, you know, when I was a kid, 30 feet running up a hill is like a humongous hill. But the one who was there on top of the rock was King of the Hill. I just recently read through a three-volume series on the war in the Pacific, particularly from the Navy's perspective in World War II. And as the Americans worked their way down and then, I guess, west towards Japan, they would come across all of these islands. And the most difficult times of battle were when the enemy was there on a hillside and then infiltrated underneath and down and below so they could come up the hill. Almost impossible to take over these hills. Well, in our context today, David was a military man, and he understood the advantage of the high ground. And so in these difficult times, David is giving us a picture for the overwhelmed heart. David appeals to God to lead him to a rock. Well, what kind of rock is David talking about? A rock that is, he just says here in the text, higher than myself. I think the picture is pretty simple. David could not go any lower in his life. His problems could not have been greater. The anxiety of his heart could not sink further. I think about Jonah. What happens? He's on the boat. Storms come. He tells the sailors, I'm the problem. This is the reason God has sent the storm. Throw me overboard. He's ready to die. Well, God has different plans, and a fish swallows him up, and he goes down into the depths of that fish for 3 days. And I couldn't imagine being in a lower place. He was overwhelmed. And so David, in the same way, is overwhelmed. And at this point of this emotional time that he is having, I believe, he cries out for God to lead him. And again, he isn't so concerned with the details of how, but instead where. He leads him, he says, to a rock. He wants to be led to a rock. And notice that it isn't any old rock. Not a rock, but a particular rock. The rock, translated in the English, the rock of higher ground. And so this rock isn't so much of a place as it is, as we've seen from truth number two in God's nearness, isn't so much of a place, but in a person. David has his preference. He wants to return to Jerusalem. He wants to be king. He wants his beloved son to come back in repentance and to love him and obey him. He wants the peace of God to reign in his family. But I believe his greatest desire was for God himself. God tells Abraham, when God gives him his promises and Abraham looks ahead to the future and wonders about all of these things that God will give him, but at the end of the day, God says, you know what? I'm going to give you myself. God says, I am the great reward that I will give you. Look with me here at verses 3 and 4 again in the psalm. David says, God, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. He says, let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. God was David's rock. He knew that whether he lived or whether he died or if he ever made it back to Jerusalem as king, what mattered was that he find his place on the rock that was higher than himself. Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold. Psalm 94:2, but the Lord has become my stronghold and my God, the rock of my refuge. Psalm 27:5, for he will hide me in the shelter. In the day of trouble, he will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high up upon a rock. I remember one story from Israel's desert wanderings, probably where this story came from David. They were there in the desert. They were thirsty. They were hungry. And at that particular time, they had no water. But Moses led them to a particular rock. And you remember what Moses did? He hit the rock with his staff, and water comes out of a rock. And God's people are provided for at that place, at that rock. And many years later, in the New Testament, Paul is writing about this picture. He retells the story, and here's what he says in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 to 4. He says, brothers, I do not want you to be unaware that our fathers were all under the cloud, and they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. So he's just speaking about Moses and what was going on there as God took care of them in the desert. And he says, and they all ate from the same spiritual food. In that context, certainly he's talking about God Almighty. But then when Paul talks about that, he says they all ate at that time from the same spiritual food, and they all drank the same spiritual drink. But then he says, the last part there in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them. And who was the rock? And the rock was Christ. You see, the ultimate fulfillment of this psalm, Psalm 61, this verse, is the rock. the Lord Jesus Christ. When your heart is overwhelmed, brothers and sisters, when my heart is over, when our hearts are overwhelmed, we look to the rock. Now, I know that before we even look to the rock, if we are in Christ, our sins are already forgiven. But the way God made us, and then by the Spirit, what do? We look to Christ, who is the one who covers our sins. When you are weary with your sins, how many of you have sinned this week? How many of us have not sinned this week? All of us have sinned. Whether it's sins of just committing something, whether it's getting upset with someone or getting angry with someone or doing harm to your neighbor or getting upset in the wrong kind of way or not putting the other person above you, above yourself. The Bible says, Jesus, we tell our families this all the time, if we're good parents, parents do unto others like you want them to do to you. If we haven't done to others like we've wanted them to do for us in every situation, then we've sinned. If I think of sins with myself, particularly sins of omission, lack of boldness, not sharing the gospel when I had a good opportunity to do so, not spending the time that I ought to in the Word, not praying as I ought. And we know that Christ has covered all of our sins and we look to Him during those times, but particularly we realize during these times that Christ has covered our sins and He has taken our guilt away. And so we look unto Him. Christ has bore our sins in His body on the cross. And God is, He's thrown our sins as far as the east is. I guess that's kind of east that way. East is from the west. When the burdens of this life lie heavy upon our hearts, brothers and sisters, look unto Christ. He knows how you feel. There's nothing you've gone through that He Himself has not taken upon Himself in His flesh, as He is the incarnation of God. When your heart is overwhelmed, you can rejoice. Today, these truths give us an occasion for rejoicing because they show our absolute need for Him at all times. I think this is the greatest thing that God impressed upon me when I first remember reading this verse was back when we moved our family to Russia back in 2000. And just coming into that airport and going into what we went into, we were overwhelmed. And God did not change my circumstances, our circumstances as a family at all, but He led me to the rock that is higher than I. He led me to consider Christ, the author and perfecter of my faith. Brothers and sisters, sickness will come our way, even leading to the point of utter despair. Financial concerns, material worries will always be there. There will always be family struggles. I think when we look at with families, some families we think, wow, my family is really a soap opera. But pretty much every family that we would talk to is pretty much a soap opera because of all the sins that are there and all the struggles. But they will continue. The weight of failures and sin will be ever upon us. Many times I do not feel like, from one perspective, I don't feel, because of the weight of my own sin, feel like preaching on a Sunday morning. But from another perspective, I always feel for myself and for you that we need to hear such words. We need to look unto Christ. And from that perspective, I always feel like preaching. But the weight of our failures and our sin will always be upon us. There will always be unanswered questions about the future. Grace Baptist Church will come and go. Churches do that all the time. But I praise God that I am overwhelmed this morning because it gives me an occasion to trust and look unto Christ. If you are overwhelmed this morning, it gives you an occasion to look unto the mercy of God and His promise in sending His Son, for sure. And in so doing, it brings glory to God when we look unto Christ. And it shows the world and it shows us that He is worthy of all of our looking unto Him. Today, there's nothing more important for you and for me than to look unto Christ, who is the rock, the foundation of heaven and earth. So this week, when you are overwhelmed, take this psalm and use it. Rejoice. If you are today here and you are not a Christian, I would urge you to look unto Christ. You know what I mean when I say you feel far from God. Do not let your head lay on your pillow tonight until you have cried out, God, I believe that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for my sins, and I trust in Him and look unto Him. Today, God hears and answers our prayers. Why? Because of Christ. He is the rock. He is the great high priest. God is near to us in Christ. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And God leads us, brothers and sisters, where? To Christ. So, because all of His promises are found in Him. All of His wisdom, all of His instruction, His guidance, His protection is found in Christ, who is the rock. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for these words this morning. We look unto Christ, who is the rock. It was pictured so clearly in Moses striking the rock and the water coming out and all of the provisions that came to Israel. In the same way, so do all of the provisions that we need for life and godliness come from Christ, starting with our sins being forgiven because they were punished on the cross in Christ. And those who trust in Him will have their sins forgiven. But Father, I pray also for Christians this morning, my brothers and sisters. Help us that Christ might be more beautiful to us, that we might look unto Him, that we might be more and more sanctified as we look unto Him. Help us this week. Help us as we meet with our mothers and as we think about mothers, especially today. Father, you are so good to us. So we give you the day until you bring us back to meet together again, together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Grace Baptist Church podcast. You can listen to past sermons at podbean.com. Search Grace Baptist Church China Grove to find us. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts. Search Grace Baptist Church China Grove. Service starts at 10. Thank you for listening, and remember to be intentional in making disciples this week.